Now, we're going to have a reading. Viv's going to come and read.
Page 1041, if you have a church Bible. Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road. When he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise."
So it's in Luke chapter 10, verse 25. The Good Samaritan, of course, is one of the most well-known stories in the Bible, along with, you've got David and Goliath, Daniel and the Lion's Den. Story, Jesus asked a question, Jesus tells a parable, and there's the man walking down the road, he's set upon by robbers, and the first person walks past, the second person walks past, the third stops and helps, takes him to an inn, and Jesus concludes the story. Now, this is quite a simple story, really, in many ways, isn't it? Quite simple, but what does it mean? Stories have a point to them, especially Jesus' stories. What does it mean? This one certainly did. Why did Jesus tell this story? What I'd like to do is take a minute with the person next to you. Yeah, even if you don't know them, you can say hello first, that'd be good. Take a minute and see if you can talk to them just for a minute. What does this story mean? Why did Jesus tell it? Off you go. See if you can work it out together. And we'll call time there. Jesus was a master at telling stories, and that road, Jerusalem to Jericho, was known as a dangerous road. So yeah, he really, again, put them in it, didn't he? Sort of so they could understand it. Yeah, okay, good stuff. So it is a story about big love, isn't it? And it's a story that shows great love. And you think, well, why do we need stories like this? You know, we know we should love all people. As Pixie said, we should love everyone. Do we do it? No. That's why we need stories like this, isn't it? Because we might like to think that we're the Samaritan who helped, and we certainly want to hope that we're not the other two who just walked off. But actually, we'll go with Annabeth's one. We're more like the man who caused Jesus to tell the story. So let's have a little listen again to their conversation. Okay, so let's put this up here. An expert in the law, so if you've got your Bibles, you can follow along. This was the kind of how the conversation went, okay? An expert in the law came to Jesus. Just call it out. Do you remember why he asked the question? Just call the answer out, someone. Call it out. Test. Too slow. I said call it. To test Jesus, yeah? He asked to test Jesus. There's always some clever clogs, isn't there? More interested in catching people out than learning. What was the question, the first question? Call it out. First question. Yeah. What am I going to do to get to heaven? Yeah? Lucky Mike hold it. What am I going to do to get to heaven? All good so far? Good conversation? Yeah? It's all right, isn't it? Good question. Jesus says, and he often does this, a question comes to Jesus, he sends back a question. And he says, well, what does the law say? And the man says, well, let me read verse 27 again. Can you see it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says, great. Now go and do it. Okay? Well done. Correct answer. Now go and do it. All right? Okay, so what should, let's give some different answers. What should or could the expert have said at that point, do we reckon? Not what did he say, what could or maybe should he have said? Okay, I'll go and do it. Okay, thank you, Jesus, I'll go and do it. Yeah, thanks, Beryl.
Wow, that's hard.
Wow, that's hard. Anything else? Let's take that one step further. Yeah, I can't do it. Thank you, Jesus, I can't do that. That would have been a great response, wouldn't it? Help, I can't love God and I can't love my neighbour. We'd have had a very, very different story, wouldn't we? Instead, though, he is an expert in the law, isn't he? And because he's an expert in the law, children, try and stay with me here, he asked a really obvious question. Which actually he should have known. How do I get eternal life? He should have known. He should be asking that question, really, as an expert in the law. So it says he tried to justify himself. Okay, so that kind of means he didn't want to look silly in front of others. We all know what that feels like, don't we? He's quickly like, oh, I need to follow this up with a question, because I've just asked something really obvious. So he asks this question. And who is my neighbour? Now, why might he have asked this? Now, I just said, and we got it there, he didn't want to look silly. Okay, that's true. He's trying to justify himself. But just for a minute, can anyone have a go? Why this question, do you think? What's underneath this question? What's lurking beneath his thinking, his words? What's the thinking beneath his words? Anyone call out an answer? Why this question? Oh, thank you. We needed to move up a few gears to some of the adults there, didn't we? He is looking for some way of getting clear from Jesus exactly who is his neighbour, and more importantly, who isn't. Thank you, Nat. You've set us on the right path. Now, we could have had then, Nat's boshed it, so I'll just backtrack slightly. We could have had him panicking and just saying stuff, you know, just came out of it. Well, who's my neighbour? Maybe not engaging the brain. It could be, you know, first thing that comes to your head thing. Don't do very well when that happens, do we? Or he could be, as an expert in the law, checking Jesus has got the right answer. We're checking this guy Jesus out. Is he going to say the right thing? Love God, love your neighbour. Well done, Jesus. But Nat is right, pretty much definitely. He is sort of trying to work out who his neighbour is, because he wants to know who he should love and who he shouldn't or doesn't have to love. And we know that that's the reason for his question, because Jesus then tells this story. It's this story that shows what was in the man's thinking, the loophole thing, a way out kind of thing. So God's command, children, stay with me, this is riveting stuff. God's command, love God, love your neighbour. Who counts as my neighbour? Them as well? Really? Them, maybe? That lot? Who counts? Look at the passage again, right? He's an expert in the law. Can you count for a minute? You need to scan really quickly. Children, get your Bibles, have a look. Adults as well, please. How many times does the word law come up in the passage? First one to call it out wins. Let's make it a competition. Visitors, you're allowed to go first as well. It'd be stunning. Three. Well done. Three in these Bibles, yeah? Thank you. Three times the word law. How many? Next one, another competition. How many times does the word Samaritan come up? Off you go. Once. Thank you. God, that row is on fire there, isn't it? Sorry, it's not regular. Once. Interesting. The word law three times, the word Samaritan once. That's very interesting, isn't it? Could this story be a bit more emphasis on law, what I do, what I don't have to do, than actually the Samaritan trying to keep laws and that sort of thing? Now, this man, back to the loophole thing, his love for laws is the problem, his lack of love. The main point of this parable is that we need a big heart of love for everybody. The main problem here is he doesn't have that, and neither do we. Let me try and convince you, although I don't think you need much convincing. See, what the man asks shows what we are like as well. Who's my neighbour? Jesus, please could you draw a circle around who I have to love? Can you just do that for me, around that group of people, and just show me exactly who I need to love and help and who I don't have to? That's what's going on here. And I need Finn's teddies for this. Thank you again, Finn, for lending them. Sorry, Bible Explorers, I covered your board a bit in your lovely display. I didn't have anywhere to lean them. And they're not meant to be you, Bible Explorers. They don't represent you. I didn't choose that's Finn, that's Luke. Although, no. Anyway, so look at those over there. So I'm thinking teddies. You see the teddies on the far side? Oh, teddies, they're just so nice. I'm at home with teddies. I can cuddle teddies. They're so soft. They are easy to love. Okay, I'm there with the teddies. Minions. Can you see all the minions this side? They're so funny, aren't they? Yeah, they're my neighbour, the minions are, because I just really like the minions. The two at the front as well, the little red ones, you've got Mr. Strong. I mean, who doesn't like Mr. Strong? And Candy Cane? Who doesn't like Candy Cane? Yeah, it's just so easy, isn't it? However, though, I've got a slight... Dinosaurs, I just don't really get on with them. They bite me. I don't click with dinosaurs. And frogs, especially ones that speak funny. Didn't work very well, did it? I just can't really get along with them. And sloths, well, I'm really sorry. In terms of circles, they're just so different to me. No comment. And obviously I'm being silly, children, with soft toys here. I'm not actually meaning what I'm just saying, but we do this with people, don't we? Yes, we do. we sort of say the same thing about people. We look at them and think about them in these sorts of ways. Them, yes. Them, oof. Them, you know, that sort of thing. We do the same sort of thing in other ways as well. So bear with me. Take the classic of being asked to tidy your room. Okay? So maybe you're sent to tidy your room and you think, and you start tidying, and you start thinking as you're tidying, you think, what exactly did my parents mean? Tidy all my room? Tidy under the bed as well? Or did they mean just the floor area? You get that sort of thinking going on, can't we? Or if you're given a job, right? Given a job, even adults, think of work. You can think, well, you know, instead of kind of, yep, can I help? What can I do? Anything you want, whatever you want. Instead of that attitude, isn't it true that we can sort of say, what's the job? It's that, and nothing, that's it. Yeah, that's the job, nothing more. Are you sure? Get this sometimes. Hey, are you sure that's it? Good, good, great. That's the job, then right. Okay, you see what we've done? Boxed it up. That's what I'm doing. I'm not doing anything else. Rather than, oh yeah. Can you imagine it? Yeah, whatever you want. Imagine. Sorry, slip into dreamland. Okay. Instead of, you see the problem? This is what we're like, isn't it? Let's be honest with ourselves. Instead of, just let me give myself away. Instead of, what can I do? We have the, what don't I have to do problem? Or with people. Wideness in God's mercy. God, how wide does my love have to stretch? Does it have to kind of be a little bit stretchy? A little bit stretchy love? Medium stretchy or really far? Has it got to stretch to every single person? You see, back to the expert in the law, okay? His first question was silly. How do I get to heaven? He should have known the answer. His next question reveals his selfishness. Silly, then selfish. So Jesus tells a story. He puts him in it. The man asking the question is like one of the ones who didn't stop. He's one of the ones who walked past, isn't he? Because he wants to know his duty. What do I have to do? Rather than big love. What can I do? Just change one word, but it changes it a lot, doesn't it? What do I have? What can I do? Did the Samaritan, children, keep you awake? Ready? Did the Samaritan make any excuses when he was walking on the road? No, thank you. Sorry, we've gone to calling out. It's very confusing, isn't it? No. He just went, there's someone who needs help. I can help. I'm in. That's what the Samaritan did, isn't it? We often get interested in what we have to do rather than God is interested in what we want to do. Okay, want to do. Children, again, where do our wants come from? What part of us would you say? Luke? Toys. Yes. Yeah, it's brilliant. Walk trying to know. Great. What part of you wants the toy? I'll just keep it Luke for a minute. Oh, sorry, Luke. Give me your hand up if I should. Okay, let's open up. Finn, you were first, slightly. Sorry. Your brain, yeah, our mind's attached. We don't talk about, though, our mind being... This is going far too long about this bit, isn't it? Our mind being what wants the toys. Annabeth, take us further. Chin. Conscience, sorry. Conscience, trying to wake Peg up. Yeah. Conscience, yeah. Okay. Romantic relationships. It's my mind. I just love Nicola in my mind. Well, you just think I'm weird. Where do I love her from? Heart, thank you. Heart, yeah. Loves come from the heart. Okay, sorry, Nicola. True, though. Okay, loves come from the heart, inside of us. Next question, children. Where's the source of this man's problem? Heart. Well done. It wasn't a trick question. It sounds like it is. Do you know it can be true for us today? Come to church this morning. Do I have to come to church? Do I love to come to church? Heart attachment. A drama. Children doing a drama. Do I have to do the drama? It didn't look like any of you had this problem going on, did it, adults? Do I have to do the drama? Do I love to do the drama? Serving in church, every single one of us. Do I have to serve? Do I love to serve? Do I just want to serve? That's what my heart is like. We'll come to the heart in a moment. The expert's question revealed his heart. It reveals our hearts as well. See, the question he should have asked, instead of asking, who is my neighbour, who do I have to help? He might, and he would have done a lot better, if he'd asked this question. How can I be? You're meant to laugh. That's funny. Isn't that funny? Thank you, Stephen. I spent ages doing that. Oh, thank you. Delayed. It doesn't work now. Okay. Sorry. The question is, how can I? How can I be a loving neighbour? Now, let's end with the how can we. Okay? We're going to end with this. Jesus made it harder in the story. Children, Jesus made it harder, okay, the loving people bit. What was the name of the person who helped? They were a Samaritan. Thank you. That's a person from Samaria. Children, why did Jesus choose a Samaritan? Katie? Thank you. Thank you. So Jews and Samaritans didn't get along. Children, think back to my comments about the teddies, sloths. We just don't get along. We're just no different. Jews and Samaritans didn't get along. There was a problem there. So Jesus makes it harder because he showed great love for the Samaritan, didn't he? In helping this person. Do you know, it can be quite easy to help a friend. If your friend needs help, it can be quite easy. They're your friend. It can be quite easy to help a family member if you're in a good mood. Sometimes we're not so good with our families, and we should be the best with our families because they're our families. Okay, but what about an enemy? What about loving and helping an enemy? That's Jesus' point. That's how far our love should stretch to the unlovely. Okay, so that's why the Samaritan bit in here. But this is not a try-harder story. Do not go home today thinking Jesus says, come on everyone, we can do it. You can go out there this week and you can help people more because you're great. Okay, that's not the point of the story. Okay? Do you know who we really are in the story? Children, last question. Who do you think we really are like in the story? Edith? Yeah, I'm going to go further though. Yeah, unfortunately we can be like the priest and the Levite quite often. I'm going gospel here. I'm going to preach to you the great gospel for a moment. Katie? I didn't quite hear that because the hand got a bit involved. Oh, right, the man on the... Yeah. We are more like the man on the floor in need of help, okay? You might say this morning, no, I'm not. What are you on about? Of course, I don't mean literally... But spiritually, we are people attacked by sin. We are wounded so badly by sin that actually we turn away from God. We turn away from his ways. We don't love him and we don't love one another as we ought to. That is our problem. It's quite a thought, isn't it? And it's not a great thought. But God's assessment of you, his assessment of me, in and of ourselves, is really important. Okay, and that is that we're just smashed on the floor. Attacked by Satan, robbed of our dignity, stripped of righteousness. As humanity, we've turned away from God. It's a huge problem. So we're the ones in desperate need of the oil and the wine. Did you see that, mature believers? Did you get that bit? Nod, shake. Yeah, it's a picture of the Holy Spirit, isn't it, in the Bible? We need God's life in us. Jesus has loved us, thank you, Katie, like the Good Samaritan. He came to our wretched, broken world to pick us up. He came to lift you out of the pit. He came to lift me because we're dead in sin, the Bible says. And he paid for sin, not just 2 denarii. Do you know how much 2 denarii was? It's at the bottom of your Bible page, isn't it? Edith? 2 weeks. It was actually worth two, go on, Annabeth. 2 days work, 2 days wages, yeah. That's a lot of money, isn't it? Yeah, and any extra expenses. Jesus didn't just pay that. What did Jesus give? He gave his life, didn't he, on the cross. Jesus is all compassion. Jesus bandages our wounds. He covers our sin. He carries us to safety, paying our debt of sin, guaranteeing our future. It is a wonderful truth. We must look to Jesus to rescue us. Jesus to be our example. Jesus to be our motivation. Because of his love, we can love like the Good Samaritan. We can't in ourselves. You can't and I can't. But through Christ, his love in us, we can love like this. With Jesus guiding us, strengthening us, we can be people who give ourselves away. People who are self-forgetful, in a good sense. We don't forget to brush our teeth and stuff. It means we're more interested in other people. We consider others first, rather than be people just about ourselves. And that's the point of the Good Samaritan. Praise the Lord. People who say, how can I help you, my neighbour, rather than who is my neighbour? Father, we praise you for the gospel. What wonderful news it is that though enslaved and dead and facing judgment in our sin, you came to us. And Lord, we really need to understand this more. We really need to grasp the heights of your love for us, what you have done. We need you to melt our hearts that so often are inward looking. And we need you to enable us by your Holy Spirit, empowering us to be people that live like Christ and look out with love. Thank you for the children. Bless them, we pray. Encourage them. May we be an encouragement to them as well. We ask these things in your wonderful name. Amen.